For those that were here last Sunday, I started this series in alignment with our Harvest Stewardship Campaign that runs from last week up to the 23rd of November. This runs for about 6 weeks between now until the week before Thanksgiving. And if you were here also last week, you may recall that I preached from the Leviticus 23rd text, drawing from the metaphor of harvest that resonates, I'm sure, for many of us who grew up in the agricultural communities such as Bobbitt. And we talk about the harvest from the biblical perspective, that the image of bountiful blessings, the God who provides, the God who provides more of himself. That's very same God who provides even when it is different than what we expect. And then, of course, last week too, we were challenged by the God's word to trust God's provision for our needs and to step up in faith and use whatever resources God has given to us. So this morning, in our second of that 6 week series, we're going to take a look on this very important passage from Isaiah 61 that challenges us to address this consumer mindset, this consumer culture, that really it's not about me and what it means to be the church today. We will keep on diving deeper into the Word of God to understand giving and generosity and to couch that within our understanding of what the church should be and what it looks like and how the church can be the presence of the kingdom of God on earth today. Would you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for this body of Christ gathered here in person and those that are worshiping with us online. It's no accident that we're here today to hear your message. This is the message that we need to hear now more than ever. So help us, Father God. May I be out of the way as you boldly convict our hearts. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. You who's our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, there can be no doubt. There could be no doubt that we are living in a consumer culture. Have you heard that term, church? Consumer culture? Just go and check your cell phone. After 1 or 2 years, what will be the next step? You will upgrade that because of the consumer culture. Every day we've been bombarded about this. You need that. You need to replace that. And it's feeding us. If you don't like a service in a restaurant, we go to where? We go to the next. If they change the menu, or it does not appeal to your palate, you move on to the next. If you don't like a certain brand of stuff in one store, you go to the next. It goes on and on, this consumer culture. And the biggest problem today is that when it begins to creep, this consumer culture begins to creep into the church of Jesus Christ. It's kind of like as soon as there's something I don't like that happens in this particular church, I'm going to what? I'm going to leave. Perhaps it has to do with the music. Do we sing out from the hymnals or do we read from the screens? Do we sing from old hymns or do we sing newer songs, contemporary songs? Do we use drums and guitars or do we just use organs? Or maybe someone doesn't like the color of the carpet. That's just like what the DS said last Sunday. Did you know there are churches that are fighting over because of the color of the carpet? I'm sure you heard those stories. Or maybe the way we do communion. Or the kind of people who are joining the church. Or maybe we have too many children or too less children. whatever it is, there are kinds of stuff. These are kinds of stuff that is allowing the consumer culture to enter into the body of Christ. And Jesus is calling that out. He is against those consumer mentality. Because the church of Jesus Christ is not about me. Can you say that with me, church? It's not about me. Last Sunday, we had the 2025 Charge Conference, as what Wayne just reminded us. And I've been reminded of that phrase, it's not about me. He talks about Apostle Paul dealing with the same kind of problem at the church in Corinth. Particularly zero in on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he reminded all of us that that particular phrase has nothing to do with weddings and marriages. Do you remember how much this has been quoted and preached? And whenever you go to the wedding, they always preach about 1 Corinthians 13. Well, it has nothing to do with weddings or marriages. It has to do with a conflict in the people of Corinth. Because Apostle Paul dealt with that. And one group valued the leadership of Paul. Other valued the gifts of Peter over Paul. And yet another group says, you all got it wrong because Apollos is gifted in ways Paul and Peter could never imagine. So the people in Corinth allowed personal preference to get in the way of unity. As a result, they became a me church. A church where everyone looks out for their own interests and not in the interests of others. A church where partiality overrides unity. A church where being heard and winning an argument is more important than listening and winning others for Christ. The church in Corinth lost its focus, its purpose, and as a result, it has lost its witness and effectiveness in the world. That is why it's very important for us as the body of Christ to go back again to the very mission of the church. What is God calling us to do? Well, we dealt with this question when we met together for 4 months in this year, 2025. We actually honestly took a look at this question and we prayed and discerned, and many of you were part of that process. And we said that our mission here at Plank Chapel is to what? Can you say that with me? To make disciples of Jesus Christ and what? And impact the community through faith in action. Which, by the way, we need to really remember this. Because we cannot be able to reach out to the community without us knowing what is our mission. This means that everything that we do here from now on must connect us back to that very mission. It means that if the old ways of doing things were keeping us from doing that very mission that we are all agreed upon, then we will no longer do them. We further agreed as a result of that, that it's really not about the preacher's preference or the member's preference. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what God wants us to do. And so the question before us, is there anything about our attitudes and traditions that get in the way of others coming to know Jesus Christ? Is there anything about what we're doing now that is getting in the way of others to be the church that Jesus called us to be? Where partly our scripture lesson on Isaiah 61 will help us navigate on these questions. For here, prophet Isaiah probably stated one of the best and most accurate picture of what the church of Jesus Christ ought to look like. it's actually the basic definition of the church. You may remember that this actually, this text on Isaiah 61 was quoted by Jesus himself. And he read this at the beginning of his ministry when he walked in the synagogue in Nazareth. So see how important this passage is from the Old Testament to the New Testament and even to the gospel. So what is the church of Jesus Christ looks like from the Isaiah 61 passage? Let's go back again to the text. I invite you to open up your Bible again. And here's what Prophet Isaiah says. The church should be able to bring what? Good news to the poor. The church should bind up the brokenhearted. The church must proclaim release for the captives and release to the prisoners. The church must comfort all who mourn. And I like what he says here. The church is called the oaks of righteousness. Oaks of righteousness. See, we read this, and if you notice the common thread that's being offered to us here by Prophet Isaiah, these are all externally focused languages. But that means is that it's focused on outside. It's on others. Words like proclaiming, releasing, bringing, comforting. It's externally focused. It's not an inward thing. And when we do these things externally, if we, our focus is to reach out beyond the walls of the building of the church, we're bringing ultimately the glory to God. There can be no doubt that the local church is the hope of the world. It is the best vehicle to bring the power of the gospel to people. It has the power to transform lives. The potential is so unlimited. Church, comfort the grieving and heal the broken. We build bridges and seekers and offer truth to the confused. The church becomes a vehicle of God's generosity through missions and ministries for those who are in need, both local and globally. We help those who are poor, those who are marginalized and vulnerable. We break the chains of addictions, free the oppressed, and offer the sense of belonging for those who don't belong. I believe the church is the only place on earth that we can experience the power and the love of Christ, the love that conquers sins and wipes out shames and heals wounds and reconciles enemies and patches broken dreams and ultimately changes the world one life at a time. Amen? So the question for us, is it about us, our preference? Or is it about God? You know, someone says the church does not rise and fall over us. The church is not great because you belong to it. As much as I think you are such a great group of people and I love spending time with the people of Plank Chapel, but the church is valuable because it belongs to God. This means that we as a church must be the presence of the kingdom of God here on earth. So how do we do that? How do we get there? I think the words from Prophet Isaiah on verse 4 offer us a glimpse of what that might be. Let's go back again to verse 4. And here's what Isaiah says. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities. Notice the key words here. Build. Raise up. Repair. This is how we live into the definition of the church in verses 1 to 3. The church must be in the mission of building. The church must be in the mission of raising up. The church must be in the mission of repairing. Repairing what, Pastor? Repairing individuals, repairing relationships, building neighborhoods, raising up young people, children. And by the grace of God, we are on this way. This afternoon, we're going to have an opportunity to actually do this by coming as a community of Christ through our second trunk or treat. On November 7th, we're going to have another opportunity to do this when we mark off not just a calendar, but actually to live out what it means to be a church that is not about me through our barbecue dinner. How can I demonstrate the love and generosity of Christ to others? How can I use my gifts and my graces and my abilities to build, to raise up, and to repair? The Church of Jesus Christ does not exist for you and for me. The Church of Jesus Christ is all about Him. I pray that we will be out of the way. Let's be out of the way. And let God be God. And let's do whatever it takes to build this church for His glory and for His honor. It begins today. And let us ask the Holy Spirit. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all the people of God said, Amen.